Let's turn to the Old Testament this evening, to Isaiah, and there we'll hear the good news from Isaiah chapter 6, page 1065. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll read there together the whole chapter, and we'll look at that in light of the first petition, "Hallowed be thy name." In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of, or the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." One of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes as they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed." Then I said, "How long, or Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it and will turn and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy shield seed shall be its stump." And then we look at the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 47. Question and answer 122, page 894 in your Psalteries. And then we're asked, what does the first petition mean? And we confess, "Hallowed be your name" means, help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I think that's the tension in the Christian life, that once we've come to know the Lord our God, how do we love this holy God, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, with our heart, soul, mind, and strength when we're not holy, holy? How do we love this God of love when we are not in our deepest capacity, even a little bit able to love as God has loved us, let alone love each other as we're called to do? How do we live before this holy God, Coram Deo, before his face, as holy people who rightly know and confess his name? And so Jesus said, and Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And right away at the beginning of the prayer we saw last time, we worship a God who has revealed himself in the name Father and all that that means, who is in heaven and all that that means, one who is so near, one who loves us, one who is intimate with us, and yet all powerful, and that our greatest need, the first thing that we want, is that his name would be made holy. Now, it's kind of an interesting thing, because isn't God's name holy just simply because of who he is? How can we ask God to make his name holy or more holy than it is? But it has to do with our attitude towards God And really what we're going to have to deal with this afternoon or this evening is our understanding of what we want God to do regardless of what it means for us. It takes a certain confidence, but also a certain courage to pray these words. Lord, no matter what, in the life of the church, in this world, but also in my life, work so that I would make your name holy, that the church would know that you are holy, that the world would know that you are holy, that you would work, Father in heaven, that we would all know everything that shines forth from you and from your works, your almighty power, your wisdom, your kindness, your justice, your mercy, and truth. And of course, we live in a world that is searching for something. There are many people clamoring for that idea, making themselves great, making themselves holy in the sense that they want to believe that they're better or they're more important or that they're going to lead us or that they're powerful. We also know that this world is in desperate need to bend the knee to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we, at the name of Jesus, could bow the knee to the glory and honor of God our Father. And so we are to be involved in that revealing of the name of God, in hallowing of the name of God. And this morning when we saw baptism, then we realized that the name of God has been put on us. That we are not so many people of so many last names, but we are one people of the family name Christian. And we have one older brother that we all share. And we share a brotherhood. And we share a family name. And even if you're baptized and you say, I don't want that family name, then you are in rebellion against the Father who gave it to you. That we are to, by our godly living, hallow the name of God. Look at Isaiah and look at the day that he lived in. And look at the time when he had to preach. And in many ways, he must have felt as if he was the only holy man left, except that we read that there would be a tenth of the people of Judah who would be left. And nonetheless, he had to bring the word that God's name would be holy. And how would God make his name holy? How would God make his name great? He would bring a spirit of stupor upon the people. And they would have eyes and not see, and ears and not hear. And they would have minds and not understand. And this is the act of Almighty God. You know, all of us preachers, all of us want everybody that we preach to give their lives to Jesus Christ, to live good and holy lives, to really follow the way of Jesus, to trust and obey. But look at what Isaiah was asked to do. And we heard this morning, that's exactly what Jesus was asked to do. And Paul says to Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. I think most of the farmers here don't sow seed in the middle of the winter. We understand that that's not the time. It's getting time now to do that. But Paul said to Timothy, I don't care if it's the dead of winter. I don't care if there's 10 feet of snow. I don't care if everything's frozen with ice. I don't care if it's a drought. Sow the seed and leave it to God and watch what he will do. And later on, Isaiah will say, on behalf of God, the word will accomplish my purposes, says the Lord. And some of that will mean that some people will believe. And in this case, it will mean a lot of people will not believe. And those are really harsh words when God says to Isaiah, lest their hearts turn and they return to me and be healed. That it was God's will that they would not be healed because their sin had gone too far. Because they had put their trust in Isaiah, who had died. And so Christ commands the church to pray for the hallowing of God's name. First of all, we'll see that we must properly confess that name. It means that we need to know God, to let God be God, and then ask God to be God in our world and in our lives. And then that should show itself out then in a proper lifestyle. So we read in Isaiah 6 that Isaiah went to church. And he probably didn't expect what was going to happen that day he went to church any more than the Apostle John on the island of Patmos on that Lord's Day, on that Sunday, was called to go into church, because both of them were called to go up into heaven or into some sort of spiritual vision. And there at the temple, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. What does that mean, by the way? How do you see the Lord? What did he see? And when you go to Revelation chapter 1 and then 4 and 5, there's a lot there that seems very much the same. There's a real consistency there as they peer into heaven. Now, I don't know if any of you have been to an Orthodox church, Greek or Ukrainian or Russian Orthodox, and we don't need these things, but what they try to do is that they paint the things of heaven on the ceiling so that when you look up into the ceiling, you get that sense that you're peering into the things of heaven. And yet it would be a miserable attempt to really see what Isaiah saw. And it is always interesting, right? The Bible doesn't come with illustrations, does it? No one took the time. Isaiah didn't take the time to sketch this out for us. You have to see it by the eye of faith. Blessed is he who has not seen and believes. Now, for a lot of people, this just seems, you know, well, he's having some ecstatic experience and whatever. Maybe he's on some bizarre high. But we know that he has gone to heaven. And then when we read that Isaiah, who lived probably nearly 800 years before John, sees almost the exact same thing, that's remarkable. And so he sees the seraphim. Again, I don't know what you think of when you think of the angels, but these are angels. And they are awesome. And they are amazing. Each one of them had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And they cry out to one another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Now, in Greek, when you use the word twice, it's a way of saying very or most. And in Hebrew, they use the triple. Holy, holy, holy. God is the ultimate holy one. He is very holy. Only five times in the Bible do you find a triple. And only one attribute of God is used in the triple. Four of them, one of the times in here in Isaiah. And then in the book of Revelation, which is interesting because it's written in Greek. Holy, 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 we heard it in our call to worship, is the Lord God Almighty. So the idea of the triple holy is pay attention to how holy he is, how awesome he is, how amazing he really is. Our Father who art in heaven, you are holy, and we want you to be holy. We want the whole earth to be filled with his glory. And as he hears it, the posts of the temple are shaking. And you know, when you go to Revelation, when John hears these things, he falls as though dead. And Isaiah is struck to the core, isn't he? And he says, "Woe. Woe is me, for I am undone." You know, one of the things that the reformers lamented, and that many are lamenting even today, is the lack of respect for God, the lack of awe for God, that we have prayed so many times to God that sometimes we even kind of forget who we are praying to. You know, if you think about it, even now we're in the presence of God, and for some of you it's been a long day, and sometimes we're sitting in the presence of God, and while we're praying in the church, we fall asleep. Now, that's one thing. And it's another thing when we're hearing a sermon and we fall asleep if we really believe that the preaching of the word is God speaking to us. Now, sometimes it is because we're boring and redundant. And ministers have to be blown away by the sense of the awe of God and what we're doing here. And by the way, that's sometimes lost in the pulpit too, beloved. That there are times when people really don't understand, or ministers don't understand what it is they're doing. But in all of that, there is a growing lack of the sense of who this God really is. Holy, holy, holy. And then Jesus says, well, then pray for it. Remember who you're talking to. Remember who is speaking to you, because Israel totally forgot. Israel was making alliances with Egypt. Israel was putting their hope and their trust in Isaiah, or Uzziah. And Uzziah died of leprosy. He dropped dead. Lord God, hallowed be your name. Do whatever it takes to get Israel, to get Judah, to recognize your holiness. And if it means that a king should drop dead by a cursed disease like leprosy, then do it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And if you need to bring COVID to Canada, then do it. If you need to bring COVID to the churches, then do it. If you need to bring COVID to the churches because our worship services were not hallowing the name of God and we were not really looking for the name of God to be hallowed, and I'm not talking about our congregation, but the churches across Canada, which we know was true and is true, and that we're susceptible to it, then Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, bring COVID and shut us down for a while so that we really think about what we were doing in the first place. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name so that once again we would be reminded that we want to worship, that we love worship, that we had kind of forsaken worship. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And if it is so that people will never return to worship because they think they can do something else or because they didn't really miss it, then so be it. It's a hard thing to accept the will of God. It's a very difficult thing to let God be holy. To really come into the presence of God, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Woe is me. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips, dwelling in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I should be dead, says Isaiah. I can't behold the holy, holy, holiness of Almighty God and live. In the same way the Apostle John says, I can't see the holy, holy, holiness of the Lord God Almighty and live. How is it that I can live? Father in heaven, I am doomed. I am damned by your holiness. I am undone. And you know, often in the life of the church, often in the life of a Christian, God has a way of crucifying your pride. God has a way of knocking us down. God has a way of nailing us in our pride when we think we're doing all that we can and we've done this and we've done that. We set up our church and we have Christian homeschooling or Christian day schooling and we have catechism and then our children walk away because we thought we had done something and we forgot, Father in heaven, make your name holy. And they're your children. And we're trying to raise them in the fear of the Lord and we can't convert them. Father in heaven, we are undone. When we think that we built our bank accounts and we built our businesses and that we make our marriages wonderful and he comes in and the littlest thing sets us off, a little thing that we cannot even see shuts down the world. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And if it means that the church has to go underground, then we will. Hallowed be your name. If it means that the church will suffer and that we can't live in this world in the same sense of luxury, in the same sense of wonderful wealth that we have been blessed with here in Canada, then we will say, Father, hallowed be your name. Father in heaven, do whatever it takes to get us on our hands and knees, please, because we want to go to be with you, that we are people of unclean lips. And did you see what God does? Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. One of the seraphim flew to me, Isaiah says. And then having in his hands a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, he touched my mouth with it. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins purged. You know that the Anabaptists, that there was an Anabaptist minister in the Netherlands who read this passage and believed he was a man of unclean lips and actually went into the fire and grabbed a burning coal and burned his mouth right out? Because he thought that would make him holy? Because he didn't understand the holiness of God? He didn't understand the marvel of the Word? But you see what God is doing. It's not just then that his lips have been touched. Your iniquity is taken away. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Make us holy. Forgive us our sins. Give us your righteousness. Father in heaven, give us your Son. Father in heaven, we hate it that our Savior, your Son, had to die on the cross for our sins, but hallowed be your name as we behold the King of the Jews, as we behold the Lamb of God, as we behold the one who is the Amen and the Amen, the way and the truth and the life. Father in heaven, do whatever it takes to save us. Let all things work for the good of those who love us. Let us know you, because if you do not make us holy, we will never know how holy you are. If you don't reveal yourself to us through your word and then give us a way to understand it, we will never know how holy you are. Father, we have ears, but if you don't open them, we'll never understand. Father, we have eyes, but if you don't open them, we'll never understand. Father in heaven, we have hearts, but if you don't soften them, we'll never love you. Father in heaven, turn us so we can be healed. I can't even believe on my own. That's why I get tired sometimes. You know, just invite Jesus into your life. Or that God, I heard it again this week, God wants to do something for you, but he's waiting for you to ask him. That's not a holy, holy, holy God. And Luther, and Calvin, and Oculum Potius, and the Heidelberg Catechism, and Jesus, Father in heaven, direct our attention to you. You do it. Infant baptism is about God baptizing the child, not about anybody's faith towards God. Because even the faith that we have is God's gift to us in the first place. Everything that we do, beloved, is because God is making his name holy in our lives. And we know how quickly we wander away, and we know how quickly we forget, or how quickly we forget to sing, "How great thou art." And so we pray every day, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Help us to truly know you. Notice, I need him to help me to know him. Then I can honor him. Then I can glorify him. Then I can praise him. But I have to do it on his terms, and I have to accept him and love him for who he is and what he is. That no matter what, I believe that God knows best, that God is right, and that the right thing is happening in Canada. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so Trudeau is our Prime Minister. Hallowed be your name. And the Liberals and the NDP did join together. Hallowed be your name. Help us to warn them. Help us to think. Help us to be godly. But help us, Father, to accept that what you are doing is exactly what the kingdom of God needs. And then in that great and glorious day, send your Son. So we don't just move then from that proper confession. We move to that next part. Who shall I send? And who shall go for us? Interesting, eh, that the Lord God there says us, pointing towards the Trinity, verse 8. Then I said, here am I. Send me. We need to respond to the holiness of God with holiness. And it means help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. So it's not enough that we simply know God is holy, that we desire God is holy. We want to be part of that revelation of the holiness of God. Here I am, send me. Now, obviously, there's something special going on with Isaiah. There's something peculiar to his office. God is doing something with Isaiah. We are not lifted up in the same way he is, although we're reading it. And we can go with him into that moment, but the calling on his life is clear. Here am I, send me. And then God says, go and tell the people. And that's exactly what Jesus said to the disciples and that he said to the church as a body. Go, therefore, and teach them all I have commanded. Who will go? Then we, as the Zion congregation, need to say, send us. And then each of us need to say, send me. That we want then to live a life involved with the calling he has given us. Send me, Father in heaven. I'm a dairyman. Send me, Heavenly Father. I'm a school teacher. Send me, Heavenly Father. You've made me a nurse. Send me, Father in heaven. I'm a student in the dark halls of university. Send me, Heavenly Father, if needs be, into the world of politics or into the police force or into the fire department. But wherever you need, send me. Here I am. And I want your name to be hallowed in everything that I say and everything that I do. And I hope, Lord, you'll provide for my needs, my daily bread, and my forgiveness of sins. And that you won't lead me into temptation, that I can remain holy, that I can be, that is, living, so that I can be holy, that is, in the way that I live, that I may properly live before your throne of grace. And then do you see the connection to the third commandment? You remember the third commandment? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And then remember what we said in the introduction? Who are you? You are the people of God. You are Christians, of Christ ones, or little Christs. You are prophet, priests, and kings. Do we bring honor to the family name? Do we bring honor to God's name? Do our children see honorable parents, grandparents, uncles, and aunts? Does the church see godly elders and godly ministers and godly deacons? Do women see godly men as the head of their household? Do we really bring glory and honor to God, that when people see us, they say, hallowed be the name of God. Praise God for them. Praise God for these people who are the light of the world. And as we read in the form of preparation, no. And we fall short. But don't get glum. And don't get down. A way to think of your Heavenly Father is, you know how we learn to walk, and then we fall down. And then what do our parents do? They pick us up again. And if they need to, they'll hold our hand. And if they need to, they reach out so that they catch us just before we can fall. Your Father is going to keep going with you. And believe it or not, the stumbling will turn into walking, and the walking will turn into running, and you are going to be used for Almighty God in your way, in the way that he's called for you. For some of you, it will be quiet, and God will see it and bless it in heaven. For some of us, it's more out in front, and we get our blessing some way here and then in heaven. But nonetheless, we need to really focus in every day on hallowed be your name. That we're not building the reputation of ourselves, of our farms, of our dairies, of our work. That we're being parents to receive the accolades of our children. Or even worse, that we're being parents so that other people would say we're good parents. That we're trying to be the people of God who are earning all of this. And simply say, Father, make your name holy in our lives. What would you want me to do today? Give me the opportunity. And when I see that opportunity, let me grab it. Let me hold it. Father in heaven, please send somebody in my life today that I can talk to and direct their attention to you. And Father in heaven, I'm feeling down and I'm feeling low and I'm having a very hard time right now hallowing your name. Could you send somebody into my life today that'll pray with me and help me to hallow your name again? We pray that together, our Father who art in heaven. We pray as the congregation, as the family of God, we want Abba's name to be made glorious. Glory is an interesting word. How do you describe glory? Some of you I know like color, and some of you I know like painting. But you know white, right? is all the colors. And then they're all mixed together, and then they blow back at you. Glory is like taking all the light in all of the world, joining it all together in this, the old world is an effulgence, and it just blows you away. You can't look at it. That's what glory means. Father, I want you to make it so that when anybody comes before you, whether it be in the activity of the creation or through world events or through it confronting us as the Church of Jesus Christ, they would, like Isaiah, say, "Woe, woe is me, I am undone." And then Father in heaven, purge them, clean their lips, wash them clean, give them the marvel of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, beloved, we're only going to find that yes and amen in the one Isaiah pointed to. Isaiah was a prophet. Some would say he's a great prophet, but he was never the prophet who was going to save us. He's the one who pointed to the good news, but it was Christ who was the good news, who is that burning coal. It is Christ who God gave that we might be purged, that our hearts would be full, that our eyes can see, that our ears can see, because the Father and the Son, through the work of the resurrected Son, sends the Spirit into our lives, and we become the holy people of God. Father in heaven, please let it be that we would never bring dishonor to your name, that we would not use your name in vain, that they would never say to us, I remember growing up in Niagara, and we had a Baptist church right beside us. And there was always that discussion. And back in the old days, all the men used to walk out. And the first thing that they did when they walked out, I think some of the older men will remember this, or the older people, what did everybody do? They went out and had a cigarette. And the Baptists were horrified. You can all smoke? Yeah, and we drink too. And I remember in St. Catharines, oh, you go to that Dutch church where everybody smokes and drinks. Now, some of them wanted to join because of that. But other people were horrified because of that. And sometimes they go, who are we? Like, I get that we're peculiar. We are very peculiar because we're not the world. But it's very peculiar to the world when we're kind of like them. They almost want us to be Amish. Not necessarily in the way that we dress, but in the way that we live. They almost need us to be different, to be holy. That people would say in us, let me put it this way. When we used to go to Ukraine, the luggage always got lost. It just always got lost. And then they would say, do you mind coming to the airport and picking up your luggage? Well, we don't drive or whatever. And then one time they phoned back and they said, don't worry about it. We have two Christians at the airport. They can bring your luggage. It will be okay. In Ukraine, they said, we have two Christians. They can bring your luggage. It will be okay. That's when God's name gets holy. And is that what they say about us? I want to hire a Christian because I know that that young man or that young woman will be to work on time and they'll give it their all. That teacher say, I want to teach Christian kids because I know that they'll give it their all. Should I say that again, Christian students? I want to have a Christian teacher because I know that my Christian teacher will give it their all. The foundation of Canadian society is the Church of Jesus Christ. And the more that they boot us out, and the more that they shut us down, and the more they want nothing to do with us, what's happening? The same thing that happened in Israel. It's crumbling. It will fall. And it will die, but not the church. We are still standing. We will always stand because God is holy. He is making his name holy. And he said, you can do whatever you want. Satan, go do whatever you want to Job. He won't lose his faith. Satan, go do whatever you want to the Church of Jesus Christ. But the Church of Jesus Christ will kick down your doors. Father in heaven, whatever it takes, whatever we need to do, whatever you want to make your name holy, we're ready. Send us. Here we are. You are a great Father. You have revealed yourself in that most wonderful name. There's no Father like you. No mother loves half so mild. Father in heaven, there's nothing you can't do. You're all powerful. If you are with us, who can be against us? We belong to the family that will overcome. We belong to the family that will live in eternity. We belong in the family that will never be defeated. So Lord, you do what you need to do and make your name holy that we may all know who you are, and that they may all know who we are in the way that we live, and that we will get the world to sing those beautiful words. And not just because they're beautiful words and the tune is amazing. Oh Lord my God, how great thou art. Hallowed be your name. Glorify your name in all the earth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen.